We've been talking a lot on this show about the flood of opioids across America. Well, here's a story that's not about too many opioids, but not enough. There's a serious shortage of injectable opioids. These are the drugs used for pain management during surgeries or cancer treatment or serious injuries. Hospitals across the country are scrambling for alternatives during the shortage, and medical professionals are worried about the impact on patients. Aaron Schachter is executive editor and producer at our partner WGBH, and he's been following the story in Boston.
Well, if you can believe it, there are only three companies that really produce injectable opioids. We're talking hydromorphone, which most people know as Dilaudid, morphine, and fentanyl. There are three companies that make them. The biggest one is Pfizer, and Pfizer had to take their Kansas plant offline back in the summer, and the two other companies just can't make up the difference.
Now, what's been the effect on hospitals in terms of the opioids they can get in for routine medical procedures, surgeries, and patients?
Well, it's actually just crazy. You have hospitals all over the country kind of juggling those three medicines, Dilaudid, morphine, and fentanyl. Every week, they're looking at their supplies, and one of them, generally Dilaudid, that's the most popular drug or the most used drug in surgeries and pain medication, is out. And at Mass General Hospital here, I attended a meeting of the opioid shortage working group, and the pharmacist of the hospital was saying that they had a week's supply left of this drug. And that means they have to start juggling with these other two. The chief medical officer at Mass General is O'Neill Britton.
Now we're at the point where our worries and fears are proven to be true. And so we're asking for a revisit in what we're doing and saying we need a more fine-tuned approach. And so that continues to frighten us.
Part of the fear that hospitals around the country are facing is that generally medical personnel work with one particular drug because there's so much Dilaudid, for example. And when they have to switch to another drug like fentanyl, it takes time to figure out the exact doses and exactly how to use it. And as we've heard with the opioid crisis, fentanyl is 20 times more potent than something like Dilaudid or morphine. And so Britton at Mass General Hospital says there is a real concern that medical personnel could misuse drugs.
When you're asking people to switch to new medicines, even though they may work similar or even though they may have the same effect, quite frankly, it does take time for those same kind of almost memory dictionary to be developed. And that, you know, does present risk.
Aaron, these are potentially dangerous drugs in the hospital, and he's talking about the potential for serious medical errors.
Yeah, and when I was at that opioid shortage working group at Mass General Hospital, they actually talked about a case where a nurse practitioner in the middle of the night, about 2 a.m, was about to give a patient the same prescription of fentanyl as he or she would have for Dilaudid. And that amount of fentanyl would have killed the patient. And there were gasps in the room. There were about 30 people in the room, and they were really nervous. Luckily, in this case, somebody noticed that the prescription was wrong, and they were able to catch it in time. But everybody in that meeting realizes they dodged a bullet then, and it could be really dangerous at some point.
So, Aaron, what about the supply side here? Pfizer had to go offline for a few months. There are a couple of other companies that make injectable opioids. Can't they make up the difference?
Well, Pfizer controls at least 60% of the market of injectable opioids around the country. In some markets, I'm told they control about 80%. So these other two companies just can't make up the difference. They're trying. I spoke with a company called Westward. Dan Motto is the guy at Westward who runs their injectable opioid business, and he says they're trying.
We've been shifting our production schedule. We've been adding shifts for our employees. We're paying overtime. We're not sitting here with an empty plant.
Westward would love to be able to sell more opioids, I'm sure, to make up the difference. But you can't just conjure this stuff, and it's highly regulated.
Yeah, and that's another part of the problem, at least from the hospitals and manufacturers' perspective. The DEA regulates how much of the raw materials for opioids each company, each factory gets. And these companies are saying the DEA has a tough job with the opioid crisis going on. They recognize that. But they are saying they need more raw materials So they can make up the difference from the shortage caused by Pfizer. The DEA counters said, you know, wait a minute. We give you what we know you need. It is your choice, they say, to decide whether to make opioids in pills or whether to make injectable opioids. And this is Rusty Payne. He's the spokesman from the DEA.
This is where people get confused. We do not issue quota on products. We issue quota on the raw ingredients. It's the company's decisions as to what products they're going to make out of the allotment of raw materials that they've been given to produce.
Aaron, what's Rusty Payne of the DEA getting at there? Is he suggesting that these companies are using the raw materials they have for opioid products that make more money?
Yeah, that is what he's suggesting. The reality is that pills make a lot more money. There are a set number of hospitals who generally order a set amount of injectable opioids every year. Their number of surgeries doesn't change a whole lot. And the profit margin on injectable opioids is just minuscule in comparison to pills. So Rusty Payne is saying, look, if there's a problem out there, it's up to you guys to fix it. That said, they have increased the quota for the two other companies that do make injectable opioids. Westward is one, and they are ramping up production.
And we've seen time after time as the opioid crisis has developed, and not in hospitals and not with injectables, but incidents and accusations of drug companies flooding the market with opioid pills, putting out way more than patients or doctors could conceivably need for clinical use.
Yeah, it's a terrible irony, which the pharmacists and hospitals are very clear about. And just so people understand, these are the drugs, injectable opioids are the drugs that you get for surgery, you know, in your IV for cancer care before and after surgery. So what hospitals are trying to do is use less. They're saying conservation is key. They're going to use less of the liquid form of the drug. They're using Tylenol and ibuprofen when they can, and getting people actually onto the pill form of opioids as quickly as possible. And this thing could go on through a year from now, through summer 2019. So you can imagine people are quite nervous.
Aaron Schachter, executive editor and producer at WGBH in Boston. Aaron, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.